Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you always greet us open-armed, and we can run to you, and your grace does heal us and finds us. We thank you for that. Father, we pray today as we open your word that we would understand more of who you are and who we are and ourselves, or that we would find encouragement, that we might be convicted, because your word does that through the Spirit in us. Father, we just thank you so much for your word and the truth of it. And as we study it and worship this morning in this way, might you be honored and glorified, and only the things of you be remembered and not the things of a man. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It is good to be back with you from our trip to Michigan. We are glad to be back in Arizona, but it was a good time to spend with family and friends and to catch up as well. So I want to remind you, as we go through our biblical parenting series, that there is a resource list. What I mean by resource list, there are things for parents to read, study, so that it will help you with your children as you raise them up, all based in Scripture. But there are also some books in there for your children to be able to read and enjoy God's truth as well. So we are going through a biblical parenting series, so I have something I want to share with you. There's a dad with five children, was picking up toys in the backyard, and he said to his wife, "You know, since we've had children, I've learned the meaning of, when I became a man, I put away childish things." There is a lot more to parenting than just picking up toys. And we know that those of you who are parents, have been parents, are in the middle of parenting, and that parenting never stops. It doesn't stop. And we'll see that as we continue through this series, biblical parenting. But our key verse, theme verse, is Psalm 127, verse 3. "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Our culture doesn't see our children that way oftentimes. We should. Children are a gift from God. His children given to us on our behalf to raise them on His behalf. And we are God's agents in the middle of that. And as we parent biblically, we parent with a focus on the heart. On the heart. Pointing our children to God to love Him and to love His Word. Guiding them in their understanding. That we are all made to worship. And we will either worship God or we will worship an idol. And they need to understand that as they grow. So as God's agents, we as parents point them to Him continuously and consistently. Biblical parenting is very countercultural in our world today. Methods of communication that we've talked about, the communication and the rod, those methods of biblical parenting are used to effectively address the issues of sin in our children's hearts and in their lives. And those are not culturally accepted today in our world. Last week, Darren shared with you some practical things about the first stage of biblical parenting, and that is infancy through about the age of four. And that stage of life is characterized by change. And I had the opportunity to listen to Darren's message. So if you've missed one of these messages, you can go on our website and click on the listen button there, and all of the messages in the biblical parenting series will come up. But I listened to it while we were in the airport waiting in Chicago for 6 hours. Don't do that ever. But it was, I was thinking through as Darren was speaking, the changes in those first 4 years, just the amount of changes. It's thinking back through when Anna and Levi were that little, and just from crawling, army crawl, to walking, to speaking, to all of those different changes, there's a lot of change in that time. And as God has given us grace to effectively parent through that time and given us methods to do that, as well. And all of these as we go through this series in biblical parenting, like the steps to behavior, like the steps in communication and the steps in using the rod and all of those application parts of this, those aren't necessarily spelled out in Scripture, those steps on how to do it. But the principles, all the principles in this biblical parenting series are found in God's Word, which makes these thoughts, these messages useful to us. And it's not just from the guys who speak from the front. It's not just our opinion. It's not just based on that. It's from God's Word, and the principles are there. So we want to make sure that you are understanding those. And we speak from a standing point of, by God's grace, we're getting through parenting as well. We're not perfect at all, but God in His grace is perfect and His Word is perfect, and we continue to go there. So today we're gonna look through the stages of life, and the next stage in a child's life, and it's childhood age, ages 5 to 12. So those ages 5 to 12. Some of you who have children in that age bracket will understand a lot of these things and will be helpful to you. Some of you who had children in that age bracket, you will remember a lot of the different changes that happened in their life as well. But continuing through this series, there's always the focus is the heart. We always need to address the heart, because we know from Scripture and Luke that the heart, the mouth, the life is the overflow of the heart. We know that from Luke and also from Proverbs, and we're going to read both of those. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." So out of the mouth speaks the heart. So what's in your child's heart comes out in their mouth, comes out in their actions as well. And Proverbs 4 talks about that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. You've probably heard that scripture multiple times through this series, and you'll probably will hear it again. But Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch out of your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life." So all of life's speaking, actions, reactions, behavior comes from our heart. And we're told in Proverbs to guard our hearts. How do we guard our hearts? How do we guard our hearts? And we look to Scripture for that, and we look in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul addresses some of these things. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So that peace in God, that peace of knowing God and knowing who He is and having that relationship with Him and taking things to Him, our worries, our anxiousness, our thankfulness, our prayers, that is how we guard our hearts, consistently thinking that as well. And Christ also talked about guarding our hearts in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, it talks about guarding your hearts, not so much guarding your hearts, but about that peace that guards our hearts. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Christ says, "Peace I leave with you." And this is right after He is speaking about leaving the Holy Spirit coming and being the comforter and the helper in our lives as He leaves. But in John chapter 14, verse 27, says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So that peace guards our hearts and helps us. Our children need to understand that. Our children need to know that as we guard their hearts, as they guard their hearts, it's the peace of Christ. It's the peace of knowing God and having that relationship with Him that ultimately guards our hearts. So we need to address the heart issues. But there are some new challenges in this stage of life, this age between 5 and 12. And one of the first challenges we want to look at is our child's at that age growing independence. They're growing in their independency apart from mom and dad. But as they do that, we also want to make sure that they're growing in dependency on God, that they're becoming independent, but also dependent more on God than mom and dad for things in their lives as well. They're going to be spending more time from our parental direction at this age, ages 5 to 12. They may be going to school. That's a long period of time, 7-8 hours of, okay, I've had them from infancy to 4. Now you know how to obey. Go and obey, right? But that's a long time for them to be away. They may be going to camp. They may be gone for whole weeks at a time. They may be staying at a friend's house or with relatives. So they're going to be spending time away from mom and dad. And this growing independency is most often more of a challenge for us as parents than it is for our children. The realization that our children are growing up and do not need us all the time. That's tough for a parent. I remember Levi. I still know Levi, but I remember growing up, as he was growing up, and him and I would go and shoot guns, and he'd come back and we'd get all this stuff to clean the guns out, and all of a sudden there was this stage in his life where I wasn't invited to go shoot guns or even have to clean them. I didn't have to clean them. And it wasn't that he didn't want me to go. It was just that he was growing in his independency. And we see that in multiple areas in our children's lives as they do that. Right now, both of our children are gone. They're out of our house. Oh. That's not easy. As a parent, you hope that direction in these ages from infancy to 19 and 20 and 18 is good enough for them to go and do, and you're like, oh man. And then you have to keep yourself from going over there. So we're going to get to that. That's adulting, parenting adulting children. So that will be coming up as well. And I have the privilege of speaking on that as well. So, sorry. But there are things, they're growing up, they don't need us as parents anymore. They're thinking their own thoughts. They're coming up with their own ideas, their own things. They're finding out what is fun and what is not fun. They're finding out what is hard and what is not hard. They're finding out what is worthwhile and what's not, and where they're going to spend their times. In this ages of 5 to 12, they're starting to define their own interests. And will probably be different than mom and dad's. And will be different than mom and dad's. They're becoming who they will be at this stage. This is where all of this starts. You know, we have looked at the foundation of infancy to ages 4. So they will be using that foundation to become who they will be, that foundation of what they've been taught from birth to now. By this time, they understand what it means to be under authority, under our authority, right? Living in obedience to us as parents, and ultimately under the authority of God. As we shepherd them this way through infancy to 4 years old, they've learned that because we pointed them to God. We've showed them that they're under His authority. Not that they always obey at this stage of 5 to 12, because we don't always obey God either, do we? But they're moving in that direction. So how do we continue to build on this foundation of them knowing God and living under His authority and knowing that God created them as parents? And the focus of this, of these years as parents, is we want to begin to develop their character. We're going to develop their character, helping them define who they are and their interests and all that thing by developing their character. Developing character is not taught through the same methods we would teach obedience. Those methods are still taught, but teaching obedience is a lot of the rod, a lot of spanking. At the ages between infancy and 4 years old, that seemed, when we were raising our kids, that seemed to be the focus. We wore out a couple of different spanking devices. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't. But actually, we were cleaning in his room, and we found that paddle that we made yesterday. And I showed her, and she said, "Dad, that needs to go in the hope chest so it can go with me." So someday she will be using that on her children. But teaching character is different. Some of the methods are different. But as we set up that foundation of obedience by using the communication, by using the rod in those first 4 years, the next stage of life and the communication that we do there is easier. It's more beneficial after that foundation has been laid. It's more effective to communicate with them in the stages of five, in this stage of 5 to 12. Spanking is just not effective at developing character. And again, 5 to 12, that doesn't mean you, at age 5, that doesn't, I'm not saying that you stop spanking your children between the ages of 5 and 12, because there still is some issues of obedience, but to develop their character, there's different methods, and the biggest method is the communication method. It really comes into play during this stage of biblical parenting. And what I mean by that is you're interacting with your children on a level of breaking down their behavior and helping our children examine their behavior, the when of their behavior, the what of their behavior, and the why of their behavior. And I know when we talked about communication, I said we need to steer away from the why question. Yes, we do. And we're going to get to that as well, because that why question, sometimes when it's first asked, when you're interacting with your children, when they've disobeyed or when there's been some issue, they don't understand why or the why question. So breaking down that behavior. And the when of breaking down their behavior describes the circumstances in which the behavior occurred. So when this occurred, the circumstances of that whole thing of their behavior, that's the when. That when describes that, so we interact with them that way. And the what of communication describes the behavior. What was said, what was done, that's what it describes. And now as we get to the why describes the actual heart issue that caused the specific behavior. Why this behavior happened is the overflow of the heart. Why they did it, because what is in their heart comes out. Helping our children examine the what of their behavior from the why perspective. So, what was said or what was done, but looking at it from the why perspective, from the heart issue. So, this response, why did I respond this way? What's in my heart that caused this response? Why did I respond that way? For an example, a complaining child, a child that comes to you that's been complaining. We can address the behavior in multiple ways. You can say, stop complaining, right? It can be as simple as that. It's probably not the best way because it doesn't address the heart. It's more addressing the external. You can say, I don't want to hear another word of your complaint from you. That also doesn't address the heart. You could also do what we talked about, the shaming method. You could say, you should be ashamed of yourself for complaining when you have been so blessed. None of those things address the heart issue. None of them help our children examine, why am I complaining? None of them do. And that's what we want to get at, and we want to draw our children into that. We want to address the heart issue to help them to develop the character of being thankful if they're complaining, right? So that's developing their character. So we ask good questions. One of the easiest questions you can ever ask a child when something's happened or they're acting up or whatever it is happening is what's going on? Because really, you probably have no idea what is going on. They may have just came from home from school and they're complaining about something that you have no clue has happened. So a simple question of what's going on? Or what is causing you to complain? What happened to make you complain? And you can move on from there and say, what are you trying to accomplish by complaining? And there's other questions that you continue to dig into, and that is bringing them to understand their behavior from the why perspective, from the heart issue. Because they're not getting what, and they're complaining, most of the time they're not getting what they think they deserve. They want to be, God is not big enough to give me what I think I need to have. So that is how we continue to address the heart issue as we develop their character. The why is the overflow of the heart and explains the what. So as we communicate with our children in this way, their conscience is engaged. Their mind is also engaged in this, and their conscience. And when I say by conscience, I mean that part of us that when we do something wrong, we feel convicted. Right? The Spirit does that, but also our God-given conscience that He's given us. And we've all been there. So we engage their conscience, and they begin to examine themselves because they're giving us the answers to these questions. And they are answering those questions from their understanding. And they begin to understand, to examine themselves. And by the way they behaved. And they come to their own conclusions about why they behave that way. Because they're the ones giving you the answers. Of course, we're helping guide them. But they come to their own conclusions about sinning against others and sinning against God. Ultimately against God. And that's where we want to take them in this stage of their lives. Romans chapter 2 talks about the conscience. In Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, Paul talks about this with the Gentiles and their not having the law or do not know the law. In Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, we read, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus." So the conscience there, it accuses or defends us when we know we've done something wrong. And God is, we have our children have a God-given conscience. And we need to help them understand their sin. And that will help them understand their sin and when they've done wrong. So when we communicate this way, it's communication between us and our child, but it's not between us and them that they've done wrong. It's between them and God. It's between them and God. So addressing heart issues always points our children to God and focusing on God and pointing them back to God, focusing on the cross where forgiveness can be found when they sin, and they need to understand that. This communication actually helps develop our child's character, this type of communication, and they're developing their character as they do that. If you're a complaining child, you continue to take them to thankfulness, and the develop character like integrity. To develop character like kindness, diligence, thankfulness, humility, self-control, and many, many other characters that God desires them to develop. And a lot of those sound like something we are familiar with. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, in verses 22 and 23, we read about some of these characters that are God-given characters by the fruit of the Spirit in us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So So we want them to develop that kind of character. Because obviously, when since infancy, we've continually pointed them towards Christ, towards God. They may have a relationship with God now by faith alone in Christ alone. Or they may not. It doesn't mean that we change the way that we're parenting. We continually point them to God. Other characters that we see, characteristics and character of, that we want them to develop in their lives, are, we see in Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Other character we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And then in Philippians chapter 2, do nothing from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regarding one another as more important than ourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. These are the types of character that we want our children to develop in their lives as they continue to grow. In all of this, character finds its foundation and its roots in faith in Christ. We saw that as we read. As you who are holy and beloved, as fruit of the Spirit. But again, they may not have come to know God yet through faith in Christ and Christ alone. But that doesn't mean that we adjust the way that we teach them. We know that from Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 talks about the law of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 23 through 26. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So again, that law, God's word, is what leads our children to understand that they need Him. God's law leads us to Christ. And that's how we, if we continuously go back to God's word as we interact with them about their character, about their disobedience, it continues to point them to Christ and lead them to Christ. It gives us the opportunity to show our children their need for Him and His grace that changes people and can change them. And our children need to understand that. So developing our children's character continuously points them to God. One of the things that, along with character, we want to develop in our children is biblical wisdom. Because biblical wisdom is actually the catalyst that helps them put that character into application in their lives. Because if they don't have biblical wisdom, they don't know when, how to respond to those things and put those characters in place and apply them in their lives. They need biblical wisdom to know what to do when we're not around. Because there will be a point in life when we're not around. I found some good wisdom from children that I'd like to share with you. Never trust a dog to watch your food. Pretty good wisdom. When your dad is mad and asks you, do I look stupid, do not answer him. That's very wise, right? Don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. I learned that the hard way, too. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. You cannot hide a piece of broccoli in your milk. Do not sneeze in front of your mom when you're eating a cracker. And never tell your mom her diet's not working. That's wisdom from children. But the reality is children need to understand biblical wisdom. That helps them. And they can develop that because that will help them put those characters into application. And we see from James chapter 3, this kind of wisdom comes from God. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For their jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. So they need that kind of wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, so that they know and understand how to use the character that's being developed into them. The character that they're developing will be put into practice when they have that type of wisdom. They will respond that way. We need to address the heart issues. We need to address the character issues. But one of the things a lot of parents, when they get to this stage of ages 5 to 12, and even on into the next message that Jeff will be speaking about on teenagers, is there's a tendency to create more rules. Because things are changing, maybe we need to have different rules and more rules. We need to be careful with that. Because rules often, most of the time, only strictly deal with the external behavior. If we do not address the heart and we do not address the character. And we could end up with children who are rule keepers. Modern day Pharisees who are clean on the outside but dirty on the inside because we haven't addressed their heart. We always need to go back to addressing their heart. So with this biblical wisdom, character could be defined as living consistently with who God is and who I am. That's how we could define character. Living consistently with who God is and who I am. And we cannot develop character in our children apart from God. We can't do that. But again, we have to remember we constantly need to point them back to God. So as parents, we need to, and this is the second point, that this we've only covered one point on the outline. This is the second point. As parents, we need to be observant. So we need to observe and address things in our children. And the first thing we need to observe and address is how our children relate to God. How do our children relate to God? And I'm not talking about do they have a relationship with God. Because everyone lives within a relationship with God. Whether you have that personal relationship with God or not, you live in relationship to God. It's about what type of relationship with God do we observe in our children? What type of relationship with God do we see in our children? So these are some of the questions that we could ask ourselves as we observe and address the things in our children. What is the content of their relationship with God? Are they concerned to know and love God? Is God a source of comfort, strength, and help? Is there evidence that they are in an independent relationship with God? What I mean by that independent relationship with God is as our children grow, sometimes they think they have a relationship with God because mom and dad have a relationship with God. And they are thinking that that faith is theirs because mom and dad have that faith. But do they have an independent relationship apart from mom and dad with God? So we need to ask ourselves that as we observe our children. Is knowing and loving God important to our children? Are there false gods our children are worshiping? Stuff, themselves, other people. What things other than God motivate our children? And do they see God as a friend? Do they see God as a judge? Do they see God as a helper? Do they see Him as a taskmaster or an enemy who just strikes down everything they want to have fun with? How do they see God? Do they live like they're complete in Christ? Or are they worshiping and serving themselves? These are the types of questions we need to ask. And these questions are based in Scripture. As we look at Scripture, the first and greatest commandment we see in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, it says, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And we go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It talks about being in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, and the old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Those questions are based on scriptures like that. These are questions we need to ask ourselves to help us understand our children. These are questions about our children that we're asking ourselves between our husband and wife or parent. Helping us understand their understanding of God, of His grace, of salvation in Christ alone. They might not even have a relationship with Christ, with God in Christ. But it doesn't mean that we change the way that we're parenting based on that. Because this is the only thing, this type of parenting is the only way that it's going to constantly and consistently point them back to God. Any other kind of method of parenting is not biblical. We need to parent biblically that will point them back to God. We need to know where our children are spiritually. We need to be aware of that, no matter what age they are. We must also observe and address how they relate to themselves. Do they understand themselves? In our world today, it is very easy for a child to get really, really mixed up about themselves. So we need to make sure they understand themselves from a biblical worldview, from a biblical point. Do they know their strong points and their weak points in their lives, their strengths and their weaknesses? What do they think of themselves? What do they think of themselves? Do they understand their personality? We might think we understand their personality. We probably do. But do they understand their personality? Are they introverted? Are they shy? Are they extroverted? Are they outgoing and bubbly and sunny? And helping them understand those things. Do they understand that they were created by God in His image? Genesis chapter 1. "Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Do they understand that they were created by God and that He has things planned for them to accomplish and do? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We need to help our children understand. We need to help our children accept and appreciate that God has made them and God has gifted them to be exactly what He wanted them to be and what He wanted them to do. We need to help them understand that. And the last thing that we need to observe and address is how they relate to others. How they relate to others. What relationships do our children have? Is it just children their own age? Do they have adult relationships? Do they have younger relationships? What relationships do our children have? How do they interact with others? Do they hide from others when the people come around? Are they outgoing and always tugging on somebody? Do they strive for other people's attention? Are their relationships balanced? Or are they always the leader? Or are they always the follower? Are they balanced? Do they love others properly? The sacrificial kind of love. And how do they respond to others disappointing them? Because that will happen. How do they respond to being sinned against when people sin against them? And what are their relational strengths and weaknesses? We see all of these things that come from Scripture when we look at, again, the first and greatest commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself, right? Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then we can go through the scriptures and we can look at all the one another's. Romans 12, 10. Be devoted to one another and honor one another. Romans 15, 17. Accept one another. Galatians chapter 5. Serve one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11. Build one another up. We as parents need to observe and address these things in our children, especially in this stage of their life between the ages of 5 and 12. And we need to evaluate often what we do. You know, we evaluate all kinds of things without even thinking, right? When you get in your car and it makes a funny noise, you're instantly evaluating what's going on in your car. And we do that without even thinking. We evaluate if you have a pet. We did it the other day when we came home. One of our dogs was eating grass. So we immediately, without thinking, we didn't have to sit down and get a list out and evaluate, okay, the dog is probably sick. We evaluated his health immediately. We evaluate our own health without even thinking. But do we evaluate our children? Do we actually sit down as husband and wife and think, okay, they're struggling here. Why are they struggling here? They're doing a fantastic job in here. We need to let them know that. Do we do that? Personally, I don't think Tracy and I did that as often as we should have. When the wheels were coming off, that's when we did it. But we need to do it often, because the more we do it without thinking. And folks, that helps our children. We need to evaluate our parenting, and we need to evaluate our children often. We need to list the concerns. We need to list the growths. It helps you help your children because you know how to address those things and develop their character. Aren't you glad parenting is such an easy job? It's not, is it? It's not. Parenting is not easy. But God has given us our children as a gift. And we are His agents raising His kids on His behalf. It doesn't have to be easy. That is the job we've had as God has placed the children in our home who He's placed. It is our job to raise them. It's going to take work. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a struggle. You're going to need God's grace every day, and so are your children. And we need to consistently and constantly point them back to that. Because in His grace, He strengthens us as parents. He gives us confidence. Not in ourselves, but in Him and His methods and His rules as we go to His Word. He gives us His Word. He gives us power to do that because He's given us the Spirit to be able to do that. So you've got a tough job, but you've been strengthened, gifted, empowered by God to do it in His grace. Praise the Lord for that, because otherwise we would be overwhelmed, every one of us who's ever parented a child. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your Word. As we look at these truths from Your Word, and as we think about our children, as we think about parenting Your children that You've given us on Your behalf to raise, we thank You for Your grace, Your mercy, Your forgiveness, and Your love for us. Help us to show that to our children. Children that may be in our home, children that we may be interacting with at Awana or at Sunday school or in our community, wherever we interact with children, we can have these kind of principles to help them and point them to You. Father, help us to do it in a way that brings honor and glory to You. We thank You for the way that You have empowered us and given us the ability to do it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing the voice of truth before we're dismissed. It's only by God's grace that we can raise His children biblically. And we need to listen, like the song says, listen to the voice of truth, and not other things. So draw on that grace this week, all week. It's there, it's for us. So we are dismissed.